You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now we have Andrew Little back for our weekly chat. Hey Andrew, how's it going?
Hi, good, yeah, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, thanks. So Prime Minister Bill English has said tax cuts are on the table for this upcoming election, and you've ruled out an increase to tax income tax. Why is that?
Because everything that we've promised so far, we can fund out of existing tax revenue, and the way the government books are going at the moment, they are looking at bigger surpluses. So we're confident we can meet every obligation we need to do the things like investing in housing, in education, in health, stuff that's going to make a difference to people, as well as starting the process of putting money into the New Zealand Super Fund and repaying government debt. So we're not planning any changes to the taxes, apart from things we've talked about, like, you know, the property speculators looking at the negative gearing rules and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the wider tax issues, wider tax system, we'll do a review of the entire tax system to make sure that we've got a good, you know, genuinely fair, progressive tax system.
Mm-hmm. And Bill English noted helping and supporting low-income families as a contributing factor for cutting taxes, but you've made the case that, you know, hey, this actually isn't the time to be spending billions and billions of dollars on tax cuts that tend to favour the wealthy.
Yeah, but big tax cuts typically only ever favour the wealthy. They don't spend their money.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the government might be doing is looking at some working for families changes. You know, look, no one's ever going to quibble about that and say that's not a good thing, but the reality is we have a major problem with wages, levels of wages, and it's no longer just for the bottom 10 or 20% of income earners. It's actually, you know, the 60% of wage and salary earners,
right,
either, you know, struggle to get a pay increase, or what they get is no longer enough to keep up with the real cost of living. When you look at what's happened to housing costs last year, actually, on average, households went backwards last year, largely because of living costs as well as inflation. So, you know, tax cuts doesn't fix that. It doesn't, you know, so we've just got to get real about some of these things.
Mm-hmm. And Finance Minister Stephen Joyce has kind of questioned your priorities and saying it's not sort of a question of whether to put up taxes or not now. We should instead be looking at how to remove the burden on hardworking families. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, they're 9 years in government. They haven't done a great deal to relieve the burden on hardworking families. And that burden right now is the extraordinary cost of housing. Now, rents have gone up phenomenally, you know, just servicing a mortgage because of the incredible increase in property costs. So if they want to talk about relieving the burden, there's a heap of stuff that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not doing, haven't done in 9 years. They haven't done anything meaningful to lift incomes from that, for that kind of 50 to 60% of wage and salary earners. So they're weeping crocodile tears. And actually what it comes down to is it's classic election year bribe stuff. Give everybody a tax cut and hope they don't notice the really bad stuff that's going on.
In the last election, Labor said it would fund your pledges with a capital gains tax and by raising the age of superannuation. Why did you kind of backtrack on these?
When I campaigned for the Labor Party, I said I don't agree with those things. And if I became the leader, I would seek to change those things. Well, I've changed them. The reason is that a capital gains tax is, first of all, you know, it doesn't stop property price bubbles. There's other things you need to do that, and that's why, you know, we're going after the negative gearing rules. And secondly, in terms of adding extra revenue to the government, it takes a long time, it takes several years before you get meaningful additional revenue in government. So, and I think we've got to look at a range of other things, you know, before we do that. And the other thing is that I want us to look at the entire tax system and issues of fairness in the whole of our tax system, not just kind of looking at bits of it. So, you know, we've got to look at personal income tax, business tax, look at whether we, and consumption tax, look at whether we need to look, you know, at something like an asset tax or capital gains or anything like that. Let's look at the whole lot on the round and let's make sure that we can say after we've done that, yep, we have a genuinely progressive tax system that means the government gets the revenue that it needs, that the signals are being sent for the right, you know, investment to go into the right places, and that people are being treated fairly. And I think you've got to look at everything rather than just the elements of the tax system.
Right, but issues such as public health and education are kind of in the forefront for this year's election. So how do you plan on actually delivering on these promises without raising revenue?
Well, As I said before, all the pledges we've made, we can do in existing tax revenue. So, for example, our 3 years free post-school education training, that's based on the fact that, when the government does its budget, it also budgets at a high level for the following 4 years, and there's unallocated funds for future spending. We can use some of that. In terms of our commitment about restoring the health cuts, we're not doing that in a single year. We're going to do that over several years. But the way the tax revenue is going at the moment, we can meet that commitment. We can start to put money back into health, especially in mental health, where there's a crisis there now. And we can resume the contributions to New Zealand Super, and we can start the process of repaying debt. So the tax revenue that's available now, we can meet those sorts of commitments. Before we do anything else on tax, I want to be sure that we are, we're not creating anomalies or distortions in the rest of our tax system by just doing, piecemeal approaches to bits of tax law.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, we heard from James Shaw from the Greens, and from what I understand, they're going to go in with a campaign for capital gains tax. You're divided on this particular issue. So what sort of happens if you are so fortunate as to establish a Labor Greens government this year? What happens to capital gains tax, and how much influence will the Greens actually have?
I guess these are the things that if we get the privilege of forming government, some of these things we'll deal with in terms of a coalition agreement. Mm-hmm. And I think the Greens understand what we want to do in terms of a review of the entire tax system, and everything's on the table there. So I'm confident that with the state of our relationship, the quality of it, the commitment that we both have, not only to get into government, but to have a progressive policy program in front of us, that I'm sure we can get through that sort of issue and still deliver a strong, stable government.
So you're not actually ruling out implementing capital gains tax?
It needs to be considered as part of the working group that we will set up to have a look at the entire tax system against that principal offence. So, I've said, everything is on the table for that. Let's hear all the ideas. Let's consider everything. Mm-hmm. The conclusion of that exercise has to be, we want a tax system that, we know is going to treat people fairly, is going to be progressive, is going to raise the revenue the government needs to do its job, and that, we can all kind of sign off on. So that exercise is the time to consider things like capital gains.
Right. And moving on, the current abortion laws in New Zealand state that it is legal to have an abortion if two certifying doctors agree that continuing the pregnancy would result in serious danger to a woman's mental or physical health. Bill English, when asked about this, sort of dismissed the issue and implied he wasn't interested in doing anything about it, and saying it's a law that stood the test of time. What do you make of his comments?
Yeah, I think that's wrong. I think it's a law that's 40 years old. I know it's a difficult, or has been a difficult issue. I think time has moved on. I think, public attitudes have changed. But in any event, we've got to know that women can make the decision about their bodies and their health. That doesn't require, certifying consultants and all the rest of it. Our commitment is to take the recommendation of the Abortion Advisory Council, and that is review the legislation. It needs to be modernised, needs to be something that's relevant to the 21st century, and I'm quite happy to see that happen.
Right, so it is currently listed under the Crimes Act of 1961. Under a Labor government, would it be reformed?
Yeah, we will conduct that review of the Contraception, Sterilisation and Abortion Act, and with a view to modernising it, and certainly that to taking it out of the Crimes Act, it has no place there.
Mm.
It's a health issue, and it's a women's health issue,
right?
And it's about women being able to make the decision about their bodies.
Is this issue a priority for you, though?
I can't say it's going to be. I'm not going to say we're going to do it in the first 100 days. May not be even in the first 6 months, but I am. Acutely aware that it's a piece of legislation that's been around for over 40 years. It's well overdue for a review, and we'll get that underway, as soon as we can.
Right. And I know Jacinda Ardern spoke quite passionately about this, saying, it's not in my hands, why should I impose that view on others and remove their choice? Speaking of Jacinda, Nikki Kaye sort of launched a verbal attack on her in Parliament yesterday. Can you explain a bit what happened there?
Well, all I can say is what you said, is that Nikki Kaye, when she got up in the debate in Parliament yesterday, decided to launch a very personal attack on Jacinda, and Maggie Barry followed suit. I don't know what their go is. I don't know why they felt the need to do that. It's not the type of politics that Jacinda indulges in. And when she campaigned opposite Nikki Kaye in the Auckland Central elections, Auckland Central seat in the 2011 and 2014 general elections, it didn't get at all personal. I think it was quite a respectful campaign. So if Nikki Kaye's been put up to it as part of a wider National Party strategy to go after Jacinda, I think it reflects very poorly on Nikki Kaye.
Mm. And I think Nikki Kaye did say that in her 8 years in Central Auckland, she struggled to name any substantial thing Jacinda's done. And I think she also criticised Jacinda's public image in saying she'll do a whole lot of photo ops and her face will be plastered across billboards, but she's failed her generation on her first day on the job. What do you make of that?
Oh, I think it's nasty, nasty stuff. Jacinda's been an outstanding advocate for children, for child well-being. She's been the driver of our policy on children's policy, on lifting child well-being for kids in poverty, and that's what she does. That's who she is, and she far from letting down a generation, she's at the forefront of the argument about making sure that the opportunities that our parents had that are there for future generations to own your own home. Get an education that's going to set you up and equip you with the skills of the future. That's what Jacinda believes in. She champions those causes. I don't know what on earth Nikki Kaye thought she was saying or what she was doing. It's actually not the Nikki Kaye that most of us know. There are national MPs and national ministers who do command respect on our side of the house.
Yeah, I've never seen Nikki Kaye opt for a personal attack in this matter before.
Never been. Yeah, and Nikki Kaye is one of the ones who does. We have a bit of respect for Nikki. She does a good job of what she does, and it just seems to come out of the blue. I hope we don't see a repeat of it.
Right.
I hope she was put up to it by others, and that they've seen that actually this is not the way we want to run politics in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's all we have time for today. I'll catch you same time next week.
Look forward to it.
Okay. Yeah. Cheers, Andrew.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.